This past week, I was at a family, well, friend of the family funeral. When you're from a small town, it's all family, in Western Quebec. And going back to things like a funeral are kind of an odd experience, a bit surreal in many ways. But it reminded me when we drove those country roads again that riding the school bus. How many of you rode a school bus, like an actual yellow bus? Oh, well, good, a few of you, wonderful. Well, you probably have some memories of the school bus, some good, some bad. When I began riding, I was 5 years old and off to kindergarten. And I had the experience of disconnection, that sort of surreal thing happened then for me too, because my younger, older brother started university the day I went on the school bus. And so everything I knew in my life, my protection, my heroes, my sort of amazing brothers who protected me and taught me and teased me and loved me, were no longer in the house. And I didn't have anyone when I got on that school bus when I was 5 years old. Now, your experience may have been that some school bus drivers were better than others. Some were excellent drivers, very cautious, very careful, took a long time to get to school. Others were really good with the kids and knew how to handle us. And some could do neither. And so I had the distinct sort of pleasure and pain of being the last, second to last, picked up on the way to school, which meant I didn't have to get up really early. I could sort of sleep in compared to all of the other people in that country area. But it also meant that I was the second to last off after school. So I would get home later, and I would have to be on that bus that whole afternoon when everyone was tired. What I didn't know when I got on the bus at age 5 was that there's a pecking order on a school bus. The high school students sat at the back in the cool seats, right up to the hump where the wheel was, which is where the grade 9 sat. And then the elementary kids sat in front of that. And the least favored position is right behind the school bus driver. You are the lowest of the low when you sit behind the school bus driver. Being the second to last on the bus in the morning and the next person being a high school student, that was my seat for that first year. And so I had a huge experience of these wider world norms that didn't fit at all with my life. I used to always sit with my brothers in the back seat, and they were definitely high school students. And I didn't have anyone on that bus to care and protect me, no advocate. And I've never forgotten the day when almost home, but probably about halfway through the trip, it was crazy. It was a hot June day, and people were absolutely out of their minds on the bus. And I turned my head slightly, and a peeled, juicy orange came reeling from the back of the bus and hit me on the side of the head and exploded into 100 pieces of wet, sticky orange. It, of course, was not aimed for me. It was aimed for the driver. Now, thank heavens, it didn't hit him, but it did hit me, and at age 5, I thought that they were aiming for me. And I'll never forget the experience of putting my hand up and feeling the stickiness and smelling the orange and then hearing the laughter and feeling the embarrassment. We have moments like that in our life all the time. It may not be that kind of thing, but times when we need an advocate, when we really need someone who's looking out for us, someone who's on our side, someone who encourages us and supports us and tells us that it's okay, someone who speaks up for us and is willing to hang in there through thick and thin. You know what I mean. Maybe a relationship has ended. Maybe you're looking for a new job. Maybe you're moving. Just take a moment and think about what it feels like when you have such a person. Even if it's just one person, someone who's invested in you and what you're feeling in your future. And knowing that even when you give up on yourself, even when you think it's all your fault, they don't believe that. They believe in you no matter what. That feels good, doesn't it? It's like a relief, especially when you feel like your back is up against the wall. You know you can just pause for a moment and let your whole life rest in somebody else's hands. And even more than that, when someone is like that for us, it empowers us. And we can take more risks. We can try things we didn't think we could try, not because we were afraid of failing necessarily, but these people let us know that even when you fail, it won't destroy you. Even when life hits you on the side of a head like a peeled orange, they will be there to support you. And that you can try again and again because you have someone who believes in you. Well, that's exactly what Jesus was saying in today's gospel reading, that we have an advocate. When we use the word advocate, we often think of advocates for social justice. But advocacy is everywhere and all the time, and we have the opportunity to be both the recipients of that and also the givers of advocacy. But in this case, it's kind of advocate with a capital A, because Jesus is talking about not a human who can fail us, but about God, about the Spirit being given to us. Jesus was actually the first advocate. He was the first sense of the Spirit with the people. He set them on a path. He was there to support and sustain and encourage the disciples and those he met. But he too had to leave. And they needed to know in those days that someone else would be there, someone that they could call on within themselves. He says that I'm in the Father and you're in me and therefore you're in the Father. It's all very convoluted. But what it means is that when we believe in that Spirit, we don't have to worry about our older brothers being around. We know that God is there. Many, many people in this world have been worried about our deteriorating political and economic and social climate these days. And many of us approach these challenges by sort of thinking about them and talking about them and worrying about them and dealing with them as issues. Well, they are issues, and issues matter. But we also need to focus on the fact that we need to be advocates for one another. We need to be advocates for God's justice, not just what we would like. Because it's hard. It's hard to be generous and brave and compassionate when you're afraid. And if we let what's happening in our world make us fear, then we will be able to do none of those things. We need to know that we are grounded in God's love, grounded in our community, and grounded in ourselves in that way, so that we can enjoy the bus ride, no matter what happens, no matter what dangers encircle us individually or in our larger community. Because you need to know that wasn't my last experience on that school bus. There was another one that year that I've also remembered. Obviously, these are pretty important because here I am many years later and I can still smell and see and taste and absolutely visualize those two experiences. As I mentioned, there was one stop on the route after mine on the way home, a couple of kilometers down the road. And one afternoon, the bus driver was probably half asleep and forgot to stop at our farm. And remember, I sat right behind the bus driver that year, so he couldn't even see me in the rearview mirror. There was just the high school student, a guy I didn't really know that, you know, was way older than me, way at the back of the bus. So I hunkered down. I didn't know what to do. I was incredibly shy in those days, and there was no way I was going to say to the bus driver, "Excuse me, you forgot me." That would have been akin to saying, "Here, just tease me. Call me a sucky calf," which is the worst thing you could be called in those days. I don't know what I'm doing. So I just kind of sat there, frozen, afraid. And I could not be an advocate for myself. I felt orphaned. I felt alone. And then at the same time, all those horrible feelings about the orange incident came back too. And it made me crouch even smaller in that seat. But our neighbor, one of the big kids, got up and walked to the front of the bus and said to the driver very quietly, very discreetly, that he'd forgotten me. The driver, to give him credit, stopped and backed the bus up the country road because he could not turn around, and stopped at our farm and let me off. And when I looked at the older student, he just did the typical thing. I remember what that felt like too. Like somebody who I didn't expect was looking out for me. Somebody was actually on my side. Someone who, in his own quiet way, was encouraging and supporting me, giving me enough courage to get back on that bus again tomorrow morning, which we all had to do the next day. Someone who was willing to speak up for me and hang in with me there in that moment through thick and thin to make sure I got home safe. That's what the Spirit of God can do for us if we are open to letting it. And that is why we can live in that spirit and be open to others when they feel abandoned and orphaned and left on their own. Because we are God's agents. And so that no matter what happens in life, whenever we are whacked on the side of the head, when we are left alone, when we are hurting, when we are scared, when we are afraid, we as the people of God must remember that we can indeed be that advocate for others. Because it's there for us, a gift. We just have to be open. Amen.